Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're continuing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text 45. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Tvaya kopan nisad bischa. Sankhya yogas cha sattvatai. Upagiyamana mahatmyam. Haram samanyatat majam. Traya, by studying the three Vedas, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, Cha, also, Upanishad Bihi, and by studying the Vedic knowledge of the Upanishads, Shankhya Yogai, by reading the literature of Shankhya Yoga, Cha, and Sattvatahi, by the great sages and devotees, or by reading Vaishnava Tantra, Pancharatras, Upayega Yamana Mahatmyam, whose glories are worshipped by all these Vedic literatures. Tadim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sa, She, Amanyata, considered ordinary, Atmajam, as her own son. Translation. Thank you. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Shankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15 by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand Him. Vedascha sarvar ahameva vedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatan Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, premapum ato mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yasoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, Treyi, by Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. When one reaches the complete perfect stage of Upasana Kanda, one comes to worship Narayan, or Lord Vishnu. When Parvati asked Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of Upasana, or worship? Lord Shiva answered, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Vishnu Upasana, or Vishnu Aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu, is the highest stage of perfection, as realized by Devaki. But here, Mother Yasoda performs no Upasana, for she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Traya Kupana Sadbi, etc. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gain Brahma Gyan, impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth. And then he advances still further to Sankhya Yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller, who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga, Janavistita Tad Gatena Manasa Pasyantiyam Yogina. But Mother Yasoda has surpassed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child. And therefore, she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramameti, Bhagavaniti, Sabjate. But she is in such ecstasy that she doesn't care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yasoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramya Kachit Upasana Vajavadu Vargena Ya Kalpita. The Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11. Ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmano vartante manusya parta sarvasha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. One may be a karmi, a jnani, a yogi, and then a bhakta or prema bhakta, but the ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yasoda. The translation, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literatures of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. Hare Krishna. Mama Ganata Madandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshulan Multam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svaya Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Patandikam Panchakalpa Tirubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we have, of course, wonderful verse in purport here by Srila Prabhupada. We can thank Srila Prabhupada for making this process So simple for us from the very beginning. We go back to 1968. You know, Prabhupada was chanting in the park 1966. So by 1968, he had a number of his disciples that were there. In 1968, they were still calling Prabhupada Swamiji. This was the term they learned. Of course, we all knew in the West, from India came Swamis. I'm not sure how it turned into Swamiji in the early days, but this was, as we know, as we read, they always called him Swamiji. And it was at that time, about May of 1968, Prabhupada's servants was with him at that time was Gursundar and Govindadasi. Many of you, I'm sure everyone here has heard of Govindadasi. So Gursundar, he was a scholar. He was reading Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books. He was studying Sanskrit, studying Bengali. And he began studying Gayatri Mantra. Prabhupada hadn't mentioned anything about Gayatri Mantra to this point. But he was reading about the Gayatri Mantra. Anyway, and he was studying the different terms, and he saw that term, G. And he went up to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Can I call my wife, should I call her Govindaji?" Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "That's not very nice." He said, "It's third class term." So then, of course, in the room at that time, they're both sitting in the room, Gursundar and Govindadasi, and she said, "Well, we're calling you Swamiji." Prabhupada said, "That's all right." This we also know from Prabhupada from the beginning. He never asked for anything. Never asked anyone to cook for him. Didn't ask to help with the translation work, the editing. It was when anyone approached him, then the next stage. We see so many stages here in development of realization, God realization. Kali Yuga, Prabhupada came to New York City. He came to the West. We weren't like these people mentioned here in this purport, jnanis, yogis. We weren't even karmis. Even karmis is someone offering, they're doing sacrifice, even for their sense gratification. Prabhupada said in the purport here, once one begins his study, he's arriving at human civilization. So he was dealing with us. He was dealing with us malechas, as he sometimes fondly called some of us, including myself, malecha. And he was bringing us, trying to bring us to this platform of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, she said, "Well, we're calling you Swamiji." He said, that's okay, whatever. She said, "Well, no, if it's not a nice term, you're saying it's, he can't even call me Govindaji. How can we call you Swamiji? What is better?" He says, "What is Guru Maharaj, Guru Dev, Prabhupada?" She says, "Well, what is the best?" He said, "Prabhupada?" He explained what Prabhupada meant. He said, "Then we should call you Prabhupada." He said, if you like, that's okay. So that was back in 1968. The next day he did, because of Gursundar's request about Gayatri Mantra, Prabhupada initiated, the very next day he initiated two devotees, I think, Gursundar and maybe Satsarup. They both got their Brahmin initiation. The next day, by the request of the ladies, he initiated two ladies, Brahmin initiation, Govindadasi and Jadarani. They became the first ladies that got Brahmin initiation. And then, of course, we had our Srila Prabhupada, at whose feet all the masters sit. And it's also the time when we were calling each other Prabhus. Prabhupada said, you are Prabhus, calling me Prabhupada. Huh? All the Prabhus are sitting there. And in the early days, everyone was a Prabhu. Men were Prabhus, ladies were Prabhus in those times. So we knew so little. So Prabhupada, of course, as it's described here, huh? Mother Yasoda, the love of Mother Yasoda was beyond all these different, all these different rules and regulations, all these processes. And Prabhupada, of course, you saw with him, he had such love for Krishna. And what he instilled in us was to develop love for him. Love for Krishna, not such an easy thing. As I said, one of my very first meetings with Prabhupada in the garden in Los Angeles, he said, Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. We're servants of Krishna, he said. That's our pride. But then after saying that a few times, he looked at us, he looked at me. He said, we don't care. Krishna is God, not God. We just love a beautiful boy. So Prabhupada took it right up to the highest level. It was 1976. So now, how many years have gone by? Prabhupada started 11 years have gone by. And now again, Prabhupada's at the Mayapur Festival. Almost 1,000 of his disciples, 90% of them from Western countries. And when they had the festival there, Prabhupada's godbrothers, they also came. I saw over the years, 73, 74, 1975, Prabhupada's godbrothers, they didn't come to visit one or two every now and then, nor did he go and visit them. Other than Sridhar Maharaj, I don't know of him visiting any other godbrother. When Prabhupada first came there, everything he acquired was on his own, right? By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There was no assistance from any of his godbrothers. Prabhupada said they should be happy. He said they could see that Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada, he was acting through him. He said they should be happy with that. We could cooperate and do so much. They came to the temple at the festival day and they glorified Srila Prabhupada. And they all gave little glorifications of Srila Prabhupada's preaching activities. But then they came back a few days later and they came into Prabhupada's room. Not many of them would speak, but one of them started speaking, of course, in Bengali. Why are you calling yourself Prabhupada? We have our Prabhupada. Who are you to call yourself Prabhupada? So Prabhupada looked at his disciples. He said, leave the room. Kick them out of the room. And he sat down. He was talking. And then he called. He said, Brahmananda. He said, come here. And Brahmananda came back into the room. He said, get my letterhead. You know, letterhead, sheet of typing paper. Everything was typed on paper. So he said, bring me my letterhead. So Brahmananda goes out. He brings back the letterhead from Srila Prabhupada to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has it. And he shows it to them. He says, you see, on the top of the letterhead, A.C. Tridandi, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He said, I don't call myself Prabhupada. Prabhupada was expert. Just 10 years later, he's being questioned by his godbrothers. He says, I don't call them Prabhupada. He said, what can I do? They want to call me Prabhupada? And he told them, his disciples early, he said, you say Prabhupada? He said, I think of my spiritual master when you say Prabhupada. Everything Prabhupada did was perfect. There was no envy and no jealousy. He said, this is a sign of devotee. He said, in the spiritual world, he said, the difference, spiritual world, material world, absence of envy. In the material world, everyone is envious, huh? We see someone doing something nicely, we will try to find some fault in it. We'll try to step over that. And we all know Prabhupada mentions Srimati Radharani, she's the best. And people will see her service and think, how wonderful. And they think, let me try to do something. Let me try to do some service. He said, but no envy is there. And he said at that meeting, he brought his disciples in afterwards. He said it would be so nice. He said if they could appreciate that Prabhupada has given us this ability to preach. Instead of thinking how nice what you're doing, what can we do? So these things are always there. They were there when Prabhupada was first there in the early days. When Prabhupada went to preach again, so many things Prabhupada would say. Of course, and he stressed his books. Here he's speaking so many things. But he came with his program, Pure Devotee of Krishna, Empowered Devotee of Krishna. He made it so simple for us to become Krishna conscious. Some of you may have been around yesterday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There are 20, 30 devotees here. All the pujaris, head pujaris and foot pujaris. All kinds of pujaris. Everyone was pujari for the day. From the top to the bottom, cleaning everything for their lordships. This is the process Prabhupada gave us. Here in Vrindavan, To this day, I still wonder how somehow or other I'm here in Vrindavan. Literally 50 years. 50 years working, trying to do a little something. Prabhupada set this place up from the time this temple was built. Devaki, she has so much information she's given us over the years, every class. Class the other day about Mother Yasoda. So wonderful. All these arrangements, Srila Prabhupada, he's made for us. Simple. His books, simple. I'm told many times, though I go in his room, he was reading his books. Everything he was asking us to do, he was doing it himself. And that was the program he gave us. Simple program. He called it, I said again, the routine program. If we want to become Krishna conscious, it's very simple. He said, I told you, first thing when he came to Vrindavan, his first 2 days in Vrindavan, 1972, in his rooms, Radha Damodar Temple, which he also, Prabhupada cared for those rooms so much, wanted those rooms kept. As he said, Krishna consciousness movement started in these rooms. They're so special, huh? But the second day we were there, he called us in because some of us were sleeping in the morning, not attending the morning program, no Mangal Arati, deity greeting. Even we were at Radha Damodar Temple, Prabhupada just had us go to the program there. Wasn't that we shouldn't go because it's Radha Damodar Temple, wasn't in ISKCON Temple. No, the deities were there. The moment Prabhupada arrived, October 15th, it was in the middle of the day, so the doors were closed. But immediately, Gurachand Goswami, the resident Goswami, he went to the altar, to the pujari. Prabhupada came up, and they opened the doors for Srila Prabhupada, Sri Radha Damodar. Prabhupada offered obeisances. There were just four or five of us there, but it was like a big ceremony going on. Prabhupada was back. This was 1972. Then they closed the doors and they opened them back up, and there was Govardhan Srila footprint. I believe it was a footprint of Govardhan was there. Again, Prabhupada offered obeisances. But each day he had his program. Each day there were two classes. And say everyone had to go to those classes. No exceptions. I said, and if you were with him, you were at class. If he was speaking, you were supposed to be there. There was no excuse not go on the morning walk. It wasn't just a walk. It was another kind of class. It was another interactive class very often Prabhupada would have. And if he wasn't doing that, he was chanting japa, and you, of course, did the same. He chanted japa, we're all chanting japa. Every moment, he was teaching us, he was training us what to do, what he wanted us to do. So he called us in that morning. He said, why are you sleeping? We could never keep up with Prabhupada traveling around. It was difficult. Difficult flying, so many flights, so many time zones. Prabhupada didn't matter. He wasn't sleeping anyway. So 3 hours this place or that place didn't make a lot of difference. But for us, 6 hours or so, 7 hours made a big difference. So sometimes we were trying to catch up in our sleep whenever we could. As his servant, I had to be up because I had to provide him with his datung, his toothbrush in the morning, different things I had to get ready on his desk every morning. So I was always up. But the others, they sometimes took advantage. He said, why are you sleeping? You never say anything. You don't try to answer. And he goes on. And he said then, as he said many times while we were with him, he said, getting up early in the morning, taking cold bath. He said, there's no possibility of taking cold bath here now. It's hot bath every morning. He said, it's common sense, it's good for your health. It's not an austerity. And then he said, you have to get up early, attend Mangalarti, chant your rounds. And he said, after 12 years, everything you say will be perfect. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful instruction. It shows how important it is to do these things so basic. As Prabhupada said, the routine. Getting up, I see the mornings I make it to Mangalarti. Such a different atmosphere. Your whole day becomes different just by following Prabhupada's instructions. The time, 2.5 years... I never missed a class, never missed a morning walk. Even when I had jaundice, I was going on the morning walk. He expected you to. He just expected that to happen because you have to take that association. All that association, it's still here. Prabhupada is here. In this place of all places, coming to Vrindavan, we're so fortunate. So many times, devotees will come up to me and say, you're so fortunate. They'll grab my hands. You know, you're so fortunate. You know? I'll say, yes. I said, but we're all very, very fortunate. Because everything is personal. Srila Prabhupada's guiding all of us personally, encouraging us, engaging us in service, giving so much opportunity. And after all of that, it goes on in every ISKCON center. In this center, this is his home. His house. His home, right there. Every place you go in, you think, wow, you can really feel Srila Prabhupada here. Then you go in his home, his house. You can really feel Prabhupada's presence. Then someday, you walk over to Samadhi and Prabhupada's sitting there. He's there. How wonderful for us. But you have to take it. As Prabhupada said, all the blessings are there. They're everywhere. But you have to take those blessings. You have to take part. And without envy. You were reading from third canto, right? Devotional service in the modes of nature. We want to rise above these devotional service in the modes of nature. Encourage one another, as Prabhupada did. In the beginning, that's all he did. He encouraged them. He started talking about Gayatri Mantra. Next day, he gave them Gayatri Mantra. Maybe he was going to wait a while. But he said, I have to encourage this person. Huh? And then you make the adjustments as you need to when you wandering this way, wandering that way. Mm. That was probably, we speak so much about Mother Yasoda, huh? Protecting Krishna. Prabhupada was like our Bengali mother, we say, right? He was like Bengali mother, protecting us as he saw us doing so much nonsense. I was called into his room with others 10 times in 2 years. Why are you sleeping? I heard that mantra many, many times. Why are you sleeping? Are we just sleeping like dead men? Whenever he would see us sleeping, he would get annoyed. On the airplane, I told you, big 747, a dozen seats right across, maybe 15 seats, 3 different aisles or so many seats. Everyone was in that airplane with Prabhupada. It was just a local flight, New York to Detroit. 10 o'clock in the morning, Prabhupada sitting, looking nicely dressed. Everything pressed, his bee bag, garland up top, tilak on very nicely. He was ideal in every situation. And I'm sitting next to him. Everyone, Tejas. You know Tejas. If you don't know Tejas, you should know Tejas Prabhu. He was one of the early people here in Delhi, spent many, many years, Vrindavan, Delhi, back and forth, taking buses for 2 rupees, never would take a train, never would make a phone call. Prabhupada didn't let him spend a rupee, not a paisa, unnecessarily. This is the training we got. Not that we spend whatever, at the end of the month you throw in your receipts to get reimbursed. There's no reimbursement. Sometimes people would ask for money. Prabhupada, you cannot ask your guru for money. He just, boom, finish it. But we're on the airplane and Prabhupada's there. Somehow Prabhupada put me in, well, I was always in Mahamaya, but I think there was tinges of Yogamaya because I could sit next to him without being in anxiety somehow or other. I say, how did you do that? I said, I don't know. Just he covered me over, made me feel comfortable, made me feel like his son. Felt happy there. So I'm sitting next to him, Prabhupada's chanting, my hands in my bead bag. Maybe I'm chanting, at least I'm trying to look like I'm focused and attentive. Because he's right there. He's always right there. But he was right there. But across, the whole row across, they look like, I don't know, it is, they're just... And Prabhupada's looking at his disciples. Why are they sleeping? He's asking me. Look at them. He said, no one on the plane is sleeping. Everyone's wide awake. Huh? Businessmen doing this. He said, but all the devotees sleeping very nicely, very comfortably. Why are they sleeping? I have so many things would be in my head I could say. Prabhupada, maybe they went to bed 11 o'clock at night, finishing their rounds, getting up at 4 in the morning. You know, so many things. We were sleep deprived. I don't see that anymore. You don't see people nodding out anymore. I don't think sleep deprivation exists. In those days it existed because we had to follow the routine program every day without fail. First day I went into the temple, there were no bhakta manuals, but boy, there were plenty of devotees that would tell you everything you were doing wrong. Within the first week, you knew everything. Because all they did was chastise every mistake you made. Now you can. It's not appropriate. Huh?
I still chastise.
You still chastise me, yes. And it's good. We need to be chastised regularly. I say, Prabhupada, so many times, why are you sleeping like dead men? Everyone's awake, everyone's doing everything, but the devotees are sleeping. Stop your sleeping. So I looked. In Australia, why are you sleeping? Juhu, why are you sleeping? I always got up in the morning during those times. One day I sat right there. Prabhupada was giving a class. It was 1974. He had just recovered, so it's September. He had recovered from his illness, very serious illness. He was in bed. But now I got malaria. Didn't even know what it was. We just got sick. We were sick. I was very ill. My good friend, Nuvrindaban, brother Kuladri, he was here at the time. He was doing all my services, doing massage, Prabhupada. I was just lying in the bed. But the first couple of days, I didn't know what was happening. And I was sitting right there, and Prabhupada's giving a lecture. And I nodded. I nodded because I was dying. Not I was sleepy. I was literally had not an ounce of strength. And believe it or not, I used to play the mridanga while Prabhupada chanted Jayarada Madhava. I was one of his like okay people to play the mridanga because I could keep a beat, a rhythm with him at least. And I remember that morning I'm playing the mridanga and like my hands are collapsing. I could hardly bang it. And then class is going on and one time my head, Prabhupada looked at me. If you're tired, he said, go back to your room and sleep. That's what it was like to be around your spiritual master. That's what it was like. Under every condition, you just do what you need to do. Later on, of course, he made so many arrangements for me that I could recover. Called for the doctor, arranged for a bed. No one else did. Like I say, he was the original devotee care person. Otherwise, we didn't care about each other. Some of us did, I guess. But we were trying to just take care of ourselves. We were young. Is that the excuse? Yeah, we were young and struggling. We were all struggling to do so much. Working 24 hours a day. It wasn't, you know, you have 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours. No, Prabhupada said 24 hours devotional service. That's devotional service. And he expressed it all the time. Listen to his classes. Listen to these lectures. We hear them. I heard his last lecture. We would think he would say like that. The spiritual master doesn't call the brahmachari for breakfast. You don't eat. And we would think, what should we do? We would take it very seriously. Prabhupada doesn't call me. You're not going to eat. So many instructions were there. But he took all these instructions and he made it so simple. And even that's difficult, that simplicity. You know, from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, there's a program for everyone, not just a select few, not just the beginners, so-called neophytes, the other ones. No, I've done this for 20 years. I don't need to be there. That's never what Prabhupada said. He said the exact opposite. Then you go and set the example. It's like our temple president here. That's why I come. I'm afraid not to come. To this day, I think, I gotta go. Gotta go. This is what pleases Srila Prabhupada. And if you want success within ISKCON, there's one simple way. You please Srila Prabhupada. That's all we have to do. But he gave directions in how to please him. What to do. So everything is there for all of us. So when we hear these things, why don't you come to class? This is from the very beginning. These mantras are being said. And they need to be. Because this is our method for success in Krishna consciousness. So we have some time. If there's any questions? No difficult ones today.
Sometimes we try to analyze that we're living at a different time now, different age, so the rules and regulations and maybe the stringency of it all, back then was okay, but we don't, I mean, nowadays, you couldn't spend the price of it.
Sometimes when they would say how things are different, Prabhupada would say, what is different? Birth, old age. Prabhupada would always bring it to the simplest level. What has changed? He would say, birth, old age, disease, and death is still there. The process for overcoming it, he's given us. Of course, now so much money is being spent. But then he also sent Shankadari to come and make sure it's not misspent. Tighten it up. Probably, you know. Yeah, I say I was with Prabhupada when I came to India. We were in Delhi. I was totally bewildered in India. And I was totally sheltered because I was always just in next to Prabhupada's room or in Prabhupada's room. So I didn't know my way around anywhere. In Vrindavan, I didn't know my way around. It was Radha Damodar or I was here. I couldn't find my way to the Jamuna if I wanted to. In Delhi, and one day he asked me to go to the bank, you know, make a deposit. I mean, the process that he put me through to make that deposit, to see, make sure I got the receipt, you know, make sure of this, make sure of this, it was terrifying. What to speak of when I actually got to the bank, you know, it was nasty. But he gave me the opportunity, and that's what he does. You give the opportunity, and hopefully we have the focus and understanding. Everything is important. We say from the beginning, you know, Prabhupada showed us. And that's why Tejas is such a good example. Prabhupada was the heaviest with him, because he literally told Prabhupada, anything you need to say, any correction you need to make, you see me doing anything wrong, he said, you tell me. And Prabhupada did. I would never say that to Prabhupada. I could have never been his servant if that was my relationship. But with Tejas, he had that relationship. And Prabhupada watched every paisa. It doesn't matter whether it's a paisa or a lakh of rupees. It has to be spent perfectly. Not anything wasted and nothing for our own sense gratification. It's not that we can't spend. So many programs are there. You know, sometimes we have parikrams go this way, that way. But we should always know this is the basis for us to become Krishna conscious. And if we think we've gone beyond that, then why did Prabhupada do it himself? He was doing it. Chanting his rounds. I would watch him pull down counter beads. You know, what a joy it was to see Prabhupada pulling down counter beads. People would always, so many times, how many rounds did Prabhupada chant? I said, I don't know. Not my business to count his rounds. But I saw him sitting up in bed while I massaged him, chanting on japa beads, pulling down counter beads, sitting on his desk, behind his desk, pulling down those counter beads. I saw him say 3 Gayatris every day. Every day. Same time. Every day. Same meals. Every day. I cooked the same. That's what they say Boo did. Famous around the world for cooking the same every day. Some people say, oh, no variety there. I gave Prabhupada rice, chapatis, dal, a few subjis, and they were not very spicy. And he relished it every day for 2.5 years. He had his treats sometimes, different ladies or men. Bhojadev made him these super kachoris, but it's not what he ate. you know, like us, we have festival days. He would sometimes take a little of this, take a little of that. But he said, if you want to be healthy, you eat the same thing every day, same time every day. So Prabhupada followed formulas, certain things, very carefully. And he was able to do it even when he traveled. So what we do, we have to, you know, especially management needs to make sure everything's going on. He has his people to help do that. We make adjustments when adjustments are necessary. Yes, Maharaj.
Prabhupada can make adjustments, but how about us?
Yeah, go on.
Yes, you told me also yesterday that in regards to Vrindavan, Prabhupada will fine-tune himself so that it will fit in the way it should be. Prabhupada can put his our acharya. So how can we be sure ourselves who are still in the mostly in the premise platform. To adjust things and not to compromise, and at the same time fulfill Prabhupada's instructions and not change.
You know, Prabhupada was practical. Even in the early days, he said, when people first come, he said, not that you unload everything on them right away. They got to chant 16 rounds. They got to, you know, be up at Mangala. He said, it's a process. He said, you find out what they like to do. There's a whole letter, a two-page letter. He describes how to train new people, how to deal with new people. The problem is when the older devotees who should be mature enough to know how to do the same thing and encourage, sometimes they become agitated. Well, why can he get away with doing like this? And, you know, I have to come to the temple. That shows their own immaturity, that they're not doing it themselves. So that's all the more reason why they need to do it. Because we show what we were talking about in the beginning, that envy. We should just appreciate the service. You know, when I, like here, when I was helping out here, got the hose, when I see all the devotees serving so nicely, you know, that's what we see. That's what Prabhupada saw with us. It's how he made this society, by seeing we're all serving Krishna. Adjustments, Prabhupada said, requires a little intelligence. And you know the thing he said, if someone was asking so many questions, he said, find someone with common sense. He said, use your common sense. And if you don't have it, find someone that does. So that's what management is too. It's people need to have common sense, be practical. You know, in Hawaii, listen to his lectures in different cities. His lectures were very much directed toward the audience in those places. You know, they're for everyone, just like Bhagavad Gita was for Arjuna, but it's for each and every one of us. At the same time, Prabhupada gave certain instructions sometimes. You know, in Hawaii, he would say, no lazies and crazies in the temple. They struggle with that to this day. Because there's so many lazies and crazies, you know. They always ask me, please send someone. As soon as people hear Hawaii, they think, oh, vacation. They're not thinking, go to Hawaii and engage in service 24 hours. They're thinking, I'll go to Hawaii, you know, maybe I'll make it to... They used to go to Mangalartik under their dhotis. You would see their bathing suits because the best waves were early in the morning. So as soon as Mangalartik was over, it was in their little buggies driving to the beach, you know. So each place has its different issues to be dealt with. So we have to learn how to deal with them and deal with them. You got to learn how to bend without breaking. But sometimes, yeah, even Prabhupada, you know, people walked away from Prabhupada. You know, how does one do that? You know, we just shake our heads. How could that? But it does. It did. He would make certain statements that put so much doubt in devotees, you know, particularly the moon. To this day, you know, there's so much discussion that goes on about the moon.
Based on Krishna consciousness, we may adjust the way how
Well, that's why. Prabhupada's books.
But we are sometimes over in
the yes.
Prabhupada is going to be a better Paramahamsa than your guru.
Well, that's why the guru is needed. That even the books, anyone can read the books, we interpret it in our own way. Well, that's why we have so many groups. You know, you bring mature devotees together. He said that. He said that in 1977 with his GBC, he said, not one of you, but together you can figure things out. So that's what we have. There's plenty of, you know, senior devotees here and everywhere. So together we should come up. But gotta follow the program from the spiritual master. You know, that's the basis of everything. Mangalartik never changed. Going to Mangalartik is not something you change. That's a principle. Mangalartik, 16 rounds. These are our principles, regulative principles, all these things. Anyone says changes that, then they're not within Prabhupada's scope of Krishna consciousness. You know, they're not under his protection. Our whole process is get under the protection of Srila Prabhupada, his umbrella. I used to say that sometimes. I felt like I was in a bubble when I was with Prabhupada, you know, like nothing could hit me, not because of me, but because I was next to him. Nothing could touch him. You know, I was never on a flight. I don't know how many flights. I was never on a flight where there was a danger, you know, where the plane was going. And then I figured, well, Prabhupada was on that plane, you know. So we have to take shelter. That's their. No, then you're under their guidance. You can go where they're going. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what I see at this stage. Whatever faults I have, and I have a lot of faults, we still try to do the best we can in following Prabhupada's instructions, and the rest is up to him. We leave it up to him. But we certainly don't want to embarrass him, shame him, or, you know. Like he said, he was just so the whole way he dealt with his godbrothers was just so, you know, bring me my letterhead. He said, I'm not using. You know, Prabhupada always knew. See, that's what his intelligence, always knew just how to deal. And they were pacified. What could they say? They couldn't say anything. That's expert. A devotee's expert. You know, we want to become expert. And Prabhupada said, if we follow the program, we'll become expert. Because it's descending. He said, everything will come without separate endeavor. We always hear, especially in Vrindavan, you got to do this, you got to, you know, so many separate programs. Go to the Radhakund, Babaji's, take initiation. Prabhupada said, everything will come to you if you follow this program. So I go with that. I don't care what anyone else says I need to do. I spend enough time with him. I know what I need to do. No, they want to hurry the process. I was like, don't, you know. It will all come. Daiva Shakti Mataji. What was that? I didn't.
That's the Prabhupada Association.
Yes.
How is that?
I don't understand. Could you say that again?
How is it that so many of the early disciples had so much personal association with Prabhupada?
Oh, left. Left. Yes. Well, they're course, they were very attached to his person, his Vapu. That sentiment was there. But the ability to follow has to be there too. You know, we can become so attached. Like I could say, I'm so attached to Prabhupada's person. And I am. I need that. I've always needed that personal association. Because what I find, like I'm sure you do, you have to figure out how to continue to get that personal association in everything you're doing. See, I still see that everything is still personal. Everything I do, I'm doing it for Prabhupada. You know, now when I see myself here in Vrindavan, yeah, I'm, you know, Prabhupada said I was easygoing. You know, I'm not a person that likes to get involved, dig deep into things and battle what should be done, which you know what it is. You can see in a day 100 things you think are shouldn't be like that, you know. But how much can you fight? But now I'm thinking, I'm at the end. I'm here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada's home. If I can do one little thing here to try to help, that would be wonderful for me, you know, to be able to know, like you know, whether you were with him personally or around in the 70s, you know what ISKCON is about. You know Prabhupada's instructions, what he wants done, what he doesn't want done. And to be able to see that that's implemented in this place, which to him was the most important place to follow those instructions, to set the example for everyone here in Vrindavan, not that we're just a bunch of crazy Westerners, you know, and to become international, those from the West, people from India, from all over the world, to do that here, that's glorifying Srila Prabhupada. So that's, but people fall away because they couldn't, you know, a variety of reasons. I don't think there's one specific thing. You know, he talks about his servant. He said, just because I said we didn't go to the moon, he left. So the doubts were there. So we have to choose who we're willing to accept. You know, Prabhupada's statements or the scientist's statements. These are coming up very strongly now in our society too. You know, who is it we're interested, you know, what's important to us? What's important to follow? Prabhupada showed us how to live. He showed us how to die. You know, he showed us everything. I always say his entire life, you can look at any stage of his life and know how to be perfect devotee. That's what he did. So he gave us all of that. So if we don't want to do it, that's what he would say, then, you know, then go away. Better you go away than spoil everything. Try to implement your policy in the temple. No, go. He wasn't one for, you know, he was, if people were interested in becoming better, it's fine. But if you're not, then the temple is a special place. Ashram's a very special place. All right, I think it's a little late. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Thank you.